stimulus chatter. Biden gets nod. I'm Mike Moss. White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows says there may be a little progress to report on the stimulus package if Democrats put postal funding in a separate bill.
It's always best if Congress can get its act together for them to act, and yet knowing very well how dysfunction continues to reign 16 blocks from here, I'm not as optimistic that they'll get their act together.
Republicans are offering less money in their present offer than their previous proposal. The president's it-is-what-it-is response to the 170,000 U.S. deaths from coronavirus was a recurring theme as Democrats officially nominated Joe Biden last night to run against the incumbent president, Donald Trump. Former President Bill Clinton.
Only when COVID exploded in even more states did he encourage people to wear masks. By then, many more were dying. When asked about the surge in deaths, he shrugged and said, "It is what it is."
Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer.
President Lincoln, honoring the great sacrifice at Gettysburg, didn't say it is what it is. President Roosevelt, seeing a third of the nation ill-housed, ill-clad, and ill-nourished, didn't say it is what it is. America, Donald Trump has quit on you.
Colleges are having a hard time trying to conduct in-person classes. More from correspondent Rosa Flores.
The spread of the coronavirus complicating the move to in-person learning. Michigan State University asking students planning to live on campus this fall to stay home, since the semester will now begin online. And Notre Dame in Indiana reporting more than 80 positive tests. Undergraduates will attend class remotely for at least the next 2 weeks.
Apple has just become the first U.S. company to boast a market value of $2 trillion. I'm Mike Moss.
So when we brought him home, we didn't realize that Bear, the rescue dog, was actually sick. He had very flaky skin. He was dropping a lot of fur. And the vet wanted to do steroid injections, special dog food. Nothing seemed to work. So I was at a dead end.
DinoVite.com.
I've been hearing DinoVite on the radio for years. It never actually crossed my mind to try it until it finally sunk in. Oh, you're talking about hair and skin. Well, it took probably 6 weeks, but after we started using DinoVite, no more flaky skin, doesn't scratch and itch, and we started to put weight on.
DinoVite is nutrition.
I wish that we would have started the DinoVite right away. It would have been so much easier.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
Every rescue dog in America deserves DinoVite for 90 days.
DinoVite.com.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters. The best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals. You can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Is your air conditioning system ready for the summer heat? This is Russ Clark for my friends at Quick Refrigeration. They have been cooling and heating Yuma since 1955, and they can replace your old and inefficient AC system. Now is the best time to replace your AC system. Special financing is available for up to 60 months. New AC systems are 30 to 40% more energy efficient than those installed just 10 years ago. Bottom line, Quick Refrigeration can keep you cool and save you money. Special financing and reduced energy bills are yours. All you have to do is place a call and request a visit from one of their professional technicians. Start the saving today. Call Quick Refrigeration at 782-3691 or visit getcoolquick.com. Don't can't wait until your AC system goes down, call the best in town, Quick Refrigeration.
From the moment they're born, they're unique. Right now, when you buy one pair of eyeglasses, you can get a second pair half off. Visit nationwidevision.com for more information.
See the Nationwide Vision difference. Nationwide Vision.
Certain restrictions apply. See store for details.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, serving Arizona for over 20 years.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
A couple more days of that excessive heat warning, and then really not much cooler on the weekend. 111, partly sunny today, 85 overnight tonight. A south wind at 5 to 10, 108 and sunny tomorrow, 85 tomorrow night. High humidity on Thursday. Friday, partly sunny and 107, 108, and partly sunny on Saturday.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Good morning, Yuma. You're listening to Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU in studio. We've got friends. We have Julie Engel, President and CEO of the Greater Yuma Economic Development Corporation. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, John.
And Jerry Lococo, Managing Director at SVN Velocity Commercial Real Estate. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, John.
And we're on Facebook Live, sponsored by the Yuma Crossing National Heritage Area. We want to thank our friends for doing that. In talking to the two of you in this last week, I just got absolutely fired up about issues that are so critical to southwestern Arizona. Every time Jerry and I talk, okay, it's not that my blood pressure ramps up. I just get, you know, table pounding excited about some things that could happen in Yuma County. And Julie, you had a presentation last week at the Prosperity Summit. Let's talk about what is not happening in southwestern Arizona. Jerry, I'm going to ask you first. Things aren't happening. It's not because Julie's not doing her job, or I'm not doing my job, or Phil or Jeffrey Burt or Jenny Torres or Hector Tapia. We're just not getting a taste of the action. Why is that?
I mean, there's it's like a death by a thousand cuts. I mean, but generally speaking, from what I've seen, I've been back in Yuma 6.5 years. And so, you know, I went to school, I went to undergrad at ASU, and I went back to school at the U of A in Tucson. And so I've lived in some of the bigger markets in Arizona. And really, the critical element is higher education. I mean, that if I had to pick one thing that could make a difference in Yuma County, is access to higher education. And again, I think you noted very well, the things that we say are not to make others feel bad about what we have or the job that they're doing. But it's all about progress and growing, right? So, progress requires and it implies the fact that what we have is not going to be good enough for what we need in the future, right? And communities either grow or they die. There is no maintaining. You don't just stay the same size. You're either going to grow or you're going to die. And especially the way that our economy has advanced in the last, 10 to 15 years, and it's a whole other topic, but with inflation, inflation really pushes communities to either grow or die. And so not just grow in the sense of population either, right? You have to grow the right population. You have to grow an educated population, a population with skills, because you have to grow the base industries, because the base industries are what supplies everything else that we have. I mean, just think about this. Could you have an entire economy of barbers? No, right? How would the barbers be paid?
I was looking at your awesome new haircut. Yeah. Okay.
You can't just have service industry.
No.
You have to have people that are creating things,
it's
right?
It's not substantive.
Absolutely. And what drives that is education, right? And what drives where companies locate, right, is where the smart, educated people want to live. That's a new dynamic that hasn't always been that way.
So how do we
pivot and get that message out there. We know agriculture is the big driver, mm-hmm. $3.5 billion. We talk about that, and especially the candidates that we're talking to take over my job at the UMA County Chamber of Commerce. I gave them the location quotient conversation yesterday done by the U of A, how ag is a $3.5 billion industry. Okay, nonplussed. But when I talked about the location quotient and the study done by the U of A, mm-hmm. and agriculture to Yuma is twice as important as wine is to the Napa Valley.
Wow.
So that got a wow, because our location quotients are 25 mm-hmm. in Yuma, and Napa Valley wine is the 13.
Exactly.
Which means one in four jobs in Yuma depends on ag. But is that sustainable long term with an aging workforce in ag? How do we pivot?
Well, and advancements in how we farm, right?
Exactly.
So the labor component to it is going to be less in the future than it is today, right? But what's so frustrating for me to see, and you know, others that I've talked to in Yuma, is that, I mean, Yuma, we know how to grow in a dry, arid environment. Well, what do we have happening throughout the world? I mean, whether you believe in global warming or not, I mean, you can see that temperatures seem to be rising.
There is a change,
right?
Among
us. So there's
right.
things that are changing, and whatever caused it, I mean, that's a whole different topic of discussion. But the reality is we're going to have less land that's going to be available for farming, and it's going to be in climates that are very similar to Yuma. So why would Yuma not be the center for research? Why is Yuma not the hub for the, you know, Cal Poly of Arizona? And the answer to that is because, I mean, people don't want to share the cookie. People in Phoenix and people in Tucson don't want to share that cookie because it's an income, right? These students that you talk about location quotient, right? So you get 50,000-60,000 kids that don't live in your community, right? That come and live in your community and spend their dollars there for 9 months out of the year. What do you think that does to your economy?
Oh my!
It's amazing, right? Mm-hmm. It's huge. It's a huge infusion of cash, right? So you think they're looking at it very short-sighted, and they say, "Well, I don't want to share this fixed pie." Rather than saying, "Hey, let's help Yuma create something that we can't, because that's not what we do. Let's help Yuma become that in that region." Right, and bring dollars into the state. They don't look at it that way. They look at it, this is our pie, we're not sharing.
But since we're in a global economy, you look at all the statistics, you look at everything that you read, Arizona is booming. Arizona is like a top four state in the country for growth and job acquisition, that kind of stuff. So, Julie, how do we get that message that there's more to Arizona than Maricopa County? I mean, come on, because the stats are just staggering.
Right.
At the state level, mm-hmm. how do we get that message to the other 14?
81% of the jobs created in 2019 were in Maricopa County.
Well, how many percentage? What?
81.
So 4 in 5 jobs created in Arizona were in Maricopa County.
And that's disproportionate to the population. I mean,
right.
People will say, well, there's more people that live there. But it's still vastly disproportionate to the population throughout the state.
And 84% of the state's new GDP was in Maricopa County. And this is directly from the governor's Office of Economic Opportunity. So this is not something we're making up. This isn't something that we're manipulating so it looks bad. This is directly from their numbers. And so this is an ongoing issue. And, you know, Jerry's absolutely right. Education is a game changer. It always has been and always will be. However, education is just one of the things that is a grave disadvantage for the state of Arizona, because it is all in one area. Education, wealth, investment, infrastructure, everything that you need to grow and thrive and become have a future as a community is
exactly.
located in one area. It's a third world country situation where all the wealth, all the opportunity, everything is in one area. Everyone else is dying on the vine.
On the outside looking in. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about the infrastructure piece, too, after the break. We talked about how ADOT looks at the state and how America looks at our system. I-8's not on the map. I-8's not even discussed. We'll talk about that more after the break, if that's okay. You're listening to Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU.
Tune in
each morning for America's Morning News, brought to you by Yuma International Airport. Fly Yuma and experience the convenience, comfort, short TSA lines, and multiple daily direct flights to Phoenix and Dallas-Fort Worth. Fly Yuma, and when you're home, you're home.
At Nationwide Vision, we've been safely taking care of all of your eye care needs for 35 years, and we're excited to be able to do it again. Select offices are now open. For more information, visit nationwidevision.com or call 1-800-EYE-CARE.
Arizona small businesses are getting hit hard. Senator Martha McSally knows they need help.
We need to help them keep the lights on.
Senator McSally delivered aid for struggling small businesses. That saved 1 million Arizona jobs. Saving those jobs saved health insurance for Arizona families. Now, Senator McSally is fighting to help more people keep their health insurance. Senator Martha McSally.
There's people out there right now in Arizona that need some help, and they need it fast. They need it from the government. They need it from other human beings, and I'm going to do my part.
Senator McSally sponsored S-4329 to ensure continued health coverage for workers and families whose jobs have been impacted by COVID-19. Under Senator McSally's bill, your health insurance is protected even if your job's at risk. Call Senator Martha McSally at 602-952-2410 and urge her to pass S-4329. Tell Senator McSally to keep fighting to protect health coverage for Arizonans. Paid for by One Nation, OneNationAmerica.org.
We are back on Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU in studio. Julie Engel, President and CEO of the Greater Yuma Economic Development Corporation. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, John.
Jeremy DeCoco, Managing Director at SBN Velocity Commercial Real Estate. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning.
So off the air, we're talking on Facebook Live. Julie talked about infrastructure, okay? And there's so many pieces, there's so many spokes in this hub. But talk about the infrastructure and the lack of attention and just how we're not even at the table when it comes to some of those issues. Bring them up to speed.
Well, there's broadband. There's a RFI right now that ADOT, Arizona Department of Transportation, has released for broadband infrastructure development. And in the maps, they're showing where the existing broadband is. And all of Maricopa County is taken care of. There's broadband in all of the major thoroughfares, which then gets you to that last mile or, you know, that last 100 feet to the home. And with their RFI, they're trying to close the distance between Tucson and Phoenix and then Interstate 19, which technically doesn't even exist yet. They're going to build out that broadband as well. So there is a project for Interstate 40 that might happen in the next 5 years. But they have Interstate 8 on their list of responsibilities. We're not even in their 10-year plan to have any kind of broadband brought out here. And what we've learned through COVID is there's so many areas throughout rural Arizona that are not able to do telemedicine. They're not able to do remote education. And they literally are having to leave those communities in order to have basic services that will at least grow their families. You know, their families can have access to education. Their families can have
right.
access to health care. And these are just lost, and it's not a priority for the state. The feds, this opportunity situation that we had, or the program that we had, the feds are recognizing that this is a nationwide issue. Arizona has not even acknowledged that it's a problem yet, because they have had all of these accolades about how wonderful we're growing and everything, but it is only one area of the state that is doing that.
Exactly. And I-19 comes up from Nogales and touches into Tucson. So when you look at the growth and the expansion of the Nogales port of entry, a couple hundred million dollars of a great expansion, the thoroughfares, all the things that you need to have a great viable port. So San Luis, we got a taste of it. It got cut a little bit. But past that, the port expansion for San Luis 1 and 2, without having Highway 95 and Highway 8, Interstate 8, as part of that the conversation, mm-hmm. it doesn't make sense.
Right.
And they're just not thinking ahead. They're not looking over the horizon one bit. And we have to just keep pounding the table. And it's almost like you have to be aggravating. You have to be a rock in their shoe. You have to just absolutely just be at the table and bring facts, but also bring some passion, which is Jerry's forte. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. But you're getting ready to say something, sir.
Yeah, I mean, I think we were talking about it earlier. I think it's at a certain point you have to start reading between the lines You know, Grady Gammage Jr., he's a very prominent attorney in Phoenix. He was quoted in a recent article, and I can share that with you later, where basically it was the topic of the article was about Arizona running out of water, essentially Maricopa County running out of water. And he said there's plenty of water in Arizona. You just look at the rural communities along the river, they only use 40% of their municipal water supply, right? Municipal water supply is what we use to be able to attract companies, right?
The right.
Various companies need to use water. So they're in their mind, right? I mean, you think that's an isolated opinion in Maricopa County?
No, it's the general
You don't
opinion.
Think all the developers that he represents? Because let's be real. If you can take water out of Yuma County and put it in Maricopa County, you're talking about billions of dollars that'll be made in development.
Correct.
Right? That's the motivation. So I ask you this question. Do you think there's any motivation on the part of the state, if that's the plan, right, to see any growth in rural Arizona?
Absolutely not. Because,
absolutely not.
Because the linchpin is water.
Yes.
And they're not going to say it out loud,
yeah.
But you know that's the key.
That's the key.
And so that's why we keep at the chamber, at GYDC, at whoever will come to the microphone and listen, we have to protect our water rights. And it's the tip of the iceberg, of course, is agriculture. I mean, that's easy. But the secondary things that you're talking about, Jerry, is really the key to the conversation.
But I mean, that to me was so telling, right?
Yep.
You have a very prominent attorney that represents multiple developer home building companies in Phoenix, right? In Maricopa County. And he's sitting there saying, you know, we've got plenty of water in the state. You know, look at Yuma. Yuma's only using 40% of their municipal water supply. We've got plenty of it. I mean, he just said it in an article.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing that's so infuriating to me is, and I'll say it again. I mean, let me qualify this. The work that our elected officials have done, this is not saying to throw the people that are out there working hard, right? Because there are. But at the end of the day, people need to take a stance, right? And that might cost them their political upward mobility, right? And I think what I've seen in 6.5 years is people putting, not all of them, right? And not every time, but I've seen people putting their political upward mobility ahead of representing the people in Yuma County. And we're suffering for it. We're suffering for it.
So you need somebody that has no political aspirations, someone that is not afraid of having more scar tissue, as someone ready to...
You need somebody that runs for politics in Yuma, in Yuma County, to actually want to represent the people in Yuma County and not represent their upper mobility and not use the political party as a way to gain favor at the governor level or at the state level or at the national level. You're elected to represent the people in this county or the various cities. And I see less and less of that in the 6.5 years that I've been here.
But, Julie, are there other organizations other than our elected officials that can really help move the needle? Are there other folks out there that say, you know what, I can participate, I can be engaged, I can help out this conversation, other than your state representatives or federal representatives?
Yeah, there are. And Local First comes to mind, and then Jerry and Greg Levan and Some young up-and-coming leaders are a part of the Arizona We Want. What is the...
It's the Young Talent Advisory Board at the state level. And they're trying to figure out this question, why do half of the educated population leave the state?
Right. And we know why. It's because there's not an investment in education. The state has never invested in education, especially K-12. And then with all the cuts to higher education, they are holding on to every dollar they get, and they're keeping it in their fiefdoms. They're not letting it go anywhere else in the state. So that is an issue. We have young professionals who come into our community, and they have a very short-term plan because their kids are young. But as soon as their kids enter school, they're like, we have to go somewhere that does care about education and is investing in education and is not 48. In the nation in education when
right.
it comes to funding. And so we do have a revolving door. There is a constant churn in Arizona. And even though we're still staying ahead in the growth cycle, there's still a large number leaving.
I think I have to turn my phone off. It's
all right, you're a busy guy.
Well, no, it's actually... It's my
little Trump, you call him back later.
No, it's my little brother, so yeah. He's in Portland in another conversation for the time and place. But when you talk about that investment in education, and whoever will listen, I've talked about education funding reform.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When Cheryl Heehee went to Yuma High, there were three people in the office. Today there's 12. So what they what the paperwork that they force on schools today and the overburdensome regulation and the contemplation of paperwork, it's mind-boggling.
And they're unfunded mandates, so they're taking money out of the classroom in order to meet all these requirements.
When Darwin Stifler, before he left, sat me down with the budget for District 1, okay, 4 hours, and it was designed so that mere mortals can't understand it anyway, but he told me, and Bob Klee told me, they turned down funding three times because the paperwork processes and the management behind it would cost more than the cash they were going to receive.
Mm-hmm. There's a guy, his name's Ray Dalio. You should look him up. He's very, very brilliant. He owns Bridgewater Associates, the world's largest hedge fund. So he's a capitalist, right? He's worth $18.5-19 billion. So he's done all right for himself. You can read his articles, and he'll tell you what the number one thing facing this country, not just Arizona. I mean, we happen to be almost last, so it's very important for us to deal with this issue. But as a country, education is critical. I mean, if you have a uneducated population, they're an inefficient population. They're also a population of people that get in trouble with the law and abuse drugs and end up costing society more in the end of the day, right?
Right.
And this is not written by a left-wing, you know, liberal, whatever term you want to use in that context. He's a capitalist, right? He sees the importance of education, right? And I'd ask you, do you think the schools in Chandler, do you think the schools in Gilbert, do you think Brophy, do you think those top-notch schools are the same caliber they are in Yuma?
I guarantee they're not.
No, they're not. So the people in Phoenix, not to make them, you know, out to be terrible people, they're busy with their lives just like we are. But they don't see the same things that we see, right?
Right.
Because their kids aren't impacted. Their kids are doing just fine because their schools are funded,
right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And their children are doing well, right?
Right.
But what about everyone else in the state? And they fail to see how that has an impact on the entire state. Maybe not today, but tomorrow. And we can see this in our country, right? We can see this in these areas where, I mean, people are literally tearing the places apart. Who does that unless you have absolutely nothing to lose?
You're exactly right.
Right?
How do we then get that message seriously? This is, look, we know the problem. And there's some low-hanging fruit. There's some things we can do. There's some conversations we can have and legislation we can push.
It takes give and take on both sides because you brought up a great point, right? Just throwing money at the existing system that we have is not going to work because the money's not going to get to where it needs to be. We need to pay people to be teachers. And then the whole, well, they get 3 months off, but give me a break.
Yeah.
You expect them to go $50,000-$60,000 in debt to get now you need a master's degree, right? And to come out and make $35,000 a year? I mean,
and,
come on.
And they're working 12 hours a day doing a job.
Yes.
I am not equipped to do that job.
Yes. And then you throw 35 kids in a classroom and expect them to work miracles. I mean, it's nonsense.
It makes absolutely no sense. If we could figure a way, when Governor Ducey himself said, and this was just telling, I've never forgotten it. He said, if you took Arizona's charter school, and that was Arizona's school system by itself, just the charter schools, we'd be tied for second in the nation with Massachusetts in efficiency and proficiency.
Mm.
Well, Mr. Governor, guess what? The charter schools, look at the lack of paperwork, the lack of oversight. And again, there's been some bad apples, I'm going to set that aside.
For sure.
But look at their structure of how they're funded and how they have to account for it. They can focus on educating kids rather than pushing paper. I mean, the office people are delightful individuals. I don't want them to lose their jobs, but let's think about being more efficient. Three audits a year? Are you kidding me? Our school districts go through three audits a year. Julie, at GYDC, how many audits do you go through?
One every other year.
One every other year. That sounds intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's how real business gets done unless you don't trust them.
Yeah.
It is, you know, Jerry brings up an excellent point about the threat to our national security with bad education. Think about the ripple effect that this has and our future. What is happening to our future? Not only do we have a smaller population than we used to have, people are not reproducing at the rate they were. So we have less people, and those people the even the high school graduation rate is pitiful across the nation. And so this is a national security threat that we no longer take education as a priority. And I'm not blaming teachers. I'm not blaming the institutions.
No,
this is a systemic problem that is...
Truth is truth, no matter how inconvenient it might sound.
You're exactly right. And the digital, it's not going to make headlines because it's not happy. It's not going to make headlines because it's not popular. But the reality is there is this slow decay, this slow decay that people don't want to talk about because they think it can't be fixed. But the three of us know that it can. I'm going to talk about fixes after the break, if that's okay. You're listening to Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU.
Grown-ups devise a plan and follow it. Children do what feels good. Take responsibility for your family's future and get your estate in order. Call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen, attorneys at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a consultation today. Visit Yuma Estate Planning.
Heat alert! Heat alert! This is a heat warning from Hyundai of Yuma. August is one of the hottest months in Yuma, with record-breaking heat. It's so hot that the prices are melting at Hyundai of Yuma. Like $5,000 off new 2020 Santa Fe's, or $4,000 off new 2020 Tucson's. And during the epic summer sales event, even the rates have melted to a low 0% financing on select models. Remember, all new Hyundais come with a limited 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. So during this epic event, all offers will be considered and all credit applications will be accepted. So come out today and be cool with these amazing offers only at Hyundai of Yuma. Hyundai of Yuma buys cars. No matter the condition, we will pay top dollar for your trade-in. Bring it in today for a quick appraisal. If you like the offer, you can either trade it in or sell it to us directly. Hyundai of Yuma, a proud Yuma Strong and vet-owned dealership. Visit in person on 32nd Street or online 24/7 at HyundaiofYuma.com.
All offers plus tax, title, license, rebates, or remove any finance offer. 0% is removed. Any rebates on approved credit. See you over the tails.
Millionaire Mark Kelly makes government work for himself. Kelly built his company's headquarters using $15 million from Arizona taxpayers. They promised to create 400 new jobs here in Arizona. The result? Not even close. Barely a quarter of what they promised. Then their lofty predictions turned into layoffs. Mark Kelly got paid. Taxpayers got played. Now this company's taking even more tax dollars, raking in at least $1 million from the program giving coronavirus relief to businesses. That's the same COVID relief program that Mark Kelly criticized. While Arizona's small businesses and families were struggling, Kelly was playing politics, criticizing the program. Then the company took $1 million. Millions in taxpayer funds for the Kelly Connected Company. Broken promises for taxpayers. Millionaire Mark Kelly looks out for Millionaire Mark Kelly. Defend Arizona, paid for, and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.defendarizona.org.
Got in there too.
We are back on Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KVLU, solving the world's problems with my friends Julie Engel, President and CEO of the Greater Yuma Economic Development Corporation. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, John.
And Julie's also been a dear friend and partner. She was part of the selection committee to help hire my replacement, and your sacrifice of time, effort, energy, the gray matter you brought to the process. Thank you.
It's an honor.
Publicly. Thank you so much. We're down to three finalists. We're excited about these three exceptional individuals to take over the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce here in the very near future. And Jerry Lococo, Managing Director of SBN Velocity Commercial Real Estate and Chair of the Board of GYDC.
I am, yes.
So you have to deal with this guy all the time.
It's not a problem at all.
We did a series of articles in Yuma Biz the summer of 2017. In 18, again, Joyce Lobeck went to Montana for the summer, so we compiled these stories, Yuma County 2035, and we profiled a bunch of young, up-and-coming individuals. And you look at that roster of individuals, and Jerry's included, that enthusiasm, that energy that says, I want to make Yuma a better place to live, work, play, raise a family, run a business. Thank you for the passion. thank you for dropping anchor and saying, I'm going to do what I can for Yuma County. You probably don't get thanked often enough, but the enthusiasm and engagement is, it's catching. There's a charismatic thing that's going on here, so thank you for doing it.
I appreciate that. I mean, it's driven from, you know, I mean, I came from a broken home. I didn't have parents, really, but I had parents. I had parents, Yuma families, that took me in and showed me, you know, that there could be a better way of life and helped me, pointed me towards education and travel and how to work hard and many of these traits that I didn't get from my birth parents, right? They're Yuma families, right? And so this place made me who I am. So it's really hard for me to see what's happening and what I see on the horizon unless we get our act together.
And we talked about fixes, and again, my crystal ball is broken. I bought it from Kmart, so the warranty is expired. But through the Arizona Business Education Coalition, they created their Career Exploration Project. And in a nutshell, we're career pathing sixth graders. And they started this program in Casa Grande and in Phoenix, and we brought it to Yuma. And Yuma has surpassed the participation level in Phoenix and Casa Grande, even though they've had it for years. We're only into our second year. The idea is to go to junior highs, so we're at Gila Vista and we're 4th Avenue, where demographically, psychographically, maybe these kids don't have the same uplink that maybe I had, okay? Mm-hmm. Two-parent households, et cetera, et cetera. They also looked at, these kids don't know that they could fly drones. They don't know that they could be police officers or scientists, because their families don't run in that circle.
Mm-hmm.
So we're teaching sixth graders the idea of being a medical professional, construction worker. We're teaching them that they could possibly, you know, fly drones. They can do coding, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the fixes is to give all populations a chance at greatness and things that they can do. And it starts with business aligning with education, saying, we're going to run, the tide will rise together. It's not one or the other. And I think the more we can do those things and work together, I think the fix is in if we work together, business and education, in my opinion.
Well, and a more immediate fix is what Arizona Western College is doing. And we are so, so fortunate to have Dr. Kaur at leading that institution, because the changes that have happened there have been
amazing.
Pivotal for this community. And one of the things that we recognize in economic development is that a four-year degree is not as important as a skill set. And that's what Arizona Western College is addressing as well. They are addressing skill sets, and they are working directly with our employers about what do you need, what do they need as, you know, to get you operational as an employer. What do they need to make you a better business? And so they're having those conversations, and I'm proud to say that we're part of that system, and we're part of growing that institutional knowledge that is necessary in our community. Because what's not known is that manufacturing is almost on par with tourism when it comes to our base industry GDP. Manufacturing is growing significantly.
Congratulations, Julie.
Well,
that's a testament to your hard work and the partnerships you created.
Well, but not only that, it's a testament to the employers who still believe in this community, because they are constantly told not to. I mean, they have outside forces. I'm not talking about inside forces. I'm talking about outside forces saying, you know, why are you still there? Come here, we make more sense, blah, blah, blah. All that goes on. But they are committed to this community, and they're committed to growing their business in this community, which has been a godsend, because we haven't had too many new locations, but we've still been able to grow jobs year over year at a very impressive rate, and that's because our existing employers keep adding to their bottom line. But they're doing that in partnership with Arizona Western College.
Yep.
So we're incredibly lucky that they are responsive. They've gone out of that frame of mind that it has to be a college curriculum and it has to fit within a semester training. It doesn't anymore. And they're actually doing training on site. There's just lots of things that they're doing. And we're working very closely with the state of Arizona as well, because they're putting on a lot of programs. And they have brought ISO training and things that cost thousands of dollars to employers, and they have brought the instructors to Yuma, had those courses here, and didn't charge anybody anything for them because they're trying to address some of these skill shortages.
When Dr. Daniel Kaur, who is a dear friend, when he talks about it being a college of the community, mm-hmm. he walks the walk and talks the talk. To have him go at 180 and reach out to business, what do you need? Mm-hmm. We need engineers. Check. Okay? Mm-hmm. We need welders. Check. We need law enforcement. Check. There could be a spaceport. I'm in. I mean, the things...
It's very, very unique. Typically, you see there's adversarial relationships between the mm-hmm. business and the education community, right? One side seems to be protecting the other side's interests, and they had never... generally speaking, it seems like it's a very hard thing to get the two together, which I think is one of the amazing things about Yuma is that we're so tight-knit because we're kind of out here isolated.
Yep.
We have to be in many respects. You know, we recognize the fact that we're on the same life raft together, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So it is pretty amazing.
You know, and this is not a Chamber of Commerce conversation, but I say this all the time. People in Yuma look at you and say, how can I help? It's not rhetorical. They really want to pitch in and help out. We don't care who your papa is, where you went to school. They're going to contribute, and people in Yuma do. It's like there's an Amish barn raising every weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, this community just gets together, gets things done. But part of that is because agriculture does that innately. You know, you stop and think about helping each other, that sort of thing. We had the microburst come down in Somerton back in 2017. Millions of dollars of crops were in the ground, just been planted.
Mm-hmm.
So they didn't care who's got pumps, who's got pipes, who's got GPS, who's got trucks. Didn't care the logo on your ball cap. They moved that water out in a day and a half, saving each other's crops. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't, but they just, that's a community. To watch that happen is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of percolates and permeates through business, through education, and other partnerships. But Dr. Kaur, again, kind of a Dr. Daniel Kaur love fest, his energy is just amazing. But he's got the goods that says, I'm going to follow through and I'm going to deliver.
Right.
And he just continues to do that. And again, thank God he's here in Yuma. And
we're so lucky because we do have a demographic that is still growing. Our Hispanic population, they're not following the norm when it comes to the number of kids per family and things like that. And a lot of these are first generation. And they celebrate that at Arizona Western and at U of A out at Arizona Western College. It is celebrated if you're a first generation college attendee. But this Yuma promise that he has introduced, where if you go on after him and you finish your four-year degree, those first 2 years you did at AWC are for free.
You get reimbursed.
You get reimbursed for that.
That's putting your money where your mouth is.
Yeah, and that is his commitment to his community to change the culture, have it be a college-going community, and have all these first-generation college graduates have something to stay in our community with.
And that's the next component is it's a really good website. It's howmoneywalks.com. I shared that with Julie.
Yes.
And you can look at the migration of AGI, adjusted gross income, and you can look at the migration of population. And you can see where it's going from county to county, state to state. You can see who's a net gainer and who's a net loser in terms of states and counties. And where Yuma County is losing population.
Mm-hmm. And income.
And income. You know, from 1992 to 2018, we've lost $264 million of adjusted gross income to Maricopa County. 6,260 people to Maricopa County. And those people that are leaving, generally speaking, are people like the mayor in Tucson. She's from
Somerton.
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a perfect example of what happens to a community that can't keep their talent.
So we need to build a wall. I'm just kidding. Okay, let's talk about migration.
A wall of opportunity.
There you go.
Yeah,
After the break, you're listening to Chamber Chatter, 560 AM, KBLU.
There's a lot going on in the world right now, and getting your tax refund is as important as ever. The locally owned and operated H&R Block offices in the Yuma community are here to help you safely get your taxes done. Just drop off your documents at H&R Block, and a tax pro will do the rest. We'll get through these challenging and uncertain times together, Yuma. So if you need a hand with your taxes, H&R Block is here for you. Drop off your taxes today at their offices in Yuma, the Foothills, or San Luis, and let their experienced tax professionals help get your taxes won.
Truckmates, you must fix up your pickup truck store. Is Yuma's home for Snug Top shells and lids. Snug Top, designed and manufactured to the highest standard. Industry-leading quality and trend-setting design that protect and complement your vehicle. That's Snug Top. Truckmates is also your Line-X spray-in bed liner dealer. Line-X, number one in America for spray-in bed liners. With nationwide warranty coverage, is now available and installed by Yuma's most experienced spray-on team at Truckmates. So protect your vehicle inside and out with Line-X spray-in bed liners and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates. Truckmates is also your home for BDS suspensions, the highest quality aftermarket suspension lift kits, leveling kits, and accessory for 4x4 off-road truck and Jeep enthusiasts. And BDS suspensions are backed by the best lifetime warranty in the industry. BDS suspensions, Line-X spray-in bed liners, and Snug Top shells and lids at Truckmates in its brand new building, same location, 32nd Street next to Lowe's.
Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, exclusively offering Hercules tires, a new level of performance and versatility, all weather on and off road strength and durability, more security, more control, more stability, longer lasting, outstanding warranty and road hazard protection. Get your Hercules tires at any of the four Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros locations or use the Tire Finder online at edwhiteheadstirepros.com to choose the perfect tire. Pay online and schedule your installation appointment. Free pickup and drop off for a hassle-free experience. Guaranteed.
Arizona small businesses are getting hit hard. Senator Martha McSally knows they need help.
We need to help them keep the lights on.
Senator McSally delivered aid for struggling small businesses. That saved 1 million Arizona jobs. Saving those jobs saved health insurance for Arizona families. Now, Senator McSally is fighting to help more people keep their health insurance. Senator Martha McSally.
There's people out there right now in Arizona that need some help, and they need it fast. They need it from the government. They need it from other human beings, and I'm going to do my part.
Senator McSally sponsored S-4329 to ensure continued health coverage for workers and families whose jobs have been impacted by COVID-19. Under Senator McSally's bill, your health insurance is protected even if your job's at risk. Call Senator Martha McSally at 602-952-2410 and urge her to pass S-4329. Tell Senator McSally to keep fighting to protect health coverage for Arizonans. Paid for by One Nation, OneNationAmerica.org.
The Russ Clark Show is brought to you by Quick Refrigeration, now offering excellence in professional plumbing services as well as heating and air conditioning. Visit them at GetCoolQuick.com and listen to Russ Clark Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Heat alert! Heat alert! This is a heat warning from Hyundai of Yuma. August is one of the hottest months in Yuma with record-breaking heat. It's so hot that the prices are melting at Hyundai of Yuma. Like $5,000 off new 2020 Santa Fe's or $4,000 off new 2020 Tucson's. And during the epic summer sales event, even the rates have melted to a low 0% financing on select models. Remember, all new Hyundais come with a limited 10-year 100,000-mile warranty. So during this epic event, all offers will be considered and all credit applications will be accepted. So come out today and be cool with these amazing offers only at Hyundai of Yuma. Hyundai of Yuma buys cars. No matter the condition, we will pay top dollar for your trade-in. Bring it in today for a quick appraisal. If you like the offer, you can either trade it in or sell it to us directly. Hyundai of Yuma, a proud Yuma Strong and vet-owned dealership. Visit in person on 32nd Street or online 24/7 at HyundaiofYuma.com.
All offers plus tax, title, license, rebates, or remove any finance offer. 0% is removed. Any rebates on approved credit. See you over the table.
We are back on Chamber Chatter, 560 AM KBLU. In studio, Julie Engel, President and CEO of the Greater Yuma Economic Development Corporation. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, John.
Jerry LeCoco, Managing Director of SVN Velocity Commercial Real Estate and Chair of the Board of GOIDC. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, John.
At the bottom of the hour, I forgot to talk about the Census Challenge 2020. This is a employees count, and we're trying to extol businesses. Just to add again, it's not a job requirement. Just let's drill down and talk to every single employee. Have you filled out the census? Have you gone to my2020census.gov and filled it in? It's critical. It's so important that people talk about it's federal dollars, another hog at the trough. No, there's so much more to it than that.
Yeah.
If I'm looking at demographics based on census, if I'm looking at...
I use it every day. You know, if we're talking to developers, people look at those numbers. Where are the growth trends? What does that demographic profile look like? Where are the people living? Where are they moving? All of that.
It ties into our conversation. Again, we pretty sure Arizona's going to pick up one congressional seat. California will lose one. We're pretty sure. But the census will bear that out. The census is everything. Mm-hmm. We have to make it important to Mr. and Mrs. Jones to please fill it out. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with spying or intervention, or it has everything to do with growing Yuma County intelligently. Mm-hmm. And we just have got to improve our numbers. Please, 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 if you have not, my2020census.gov, fill it in, send it in, please. I mean, the future of Yuma County really depends on it. Mm-hmm. So please.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Anyway, what problem were we solving last break? I can't remember what problem
we
were solving.
Well, we were talking about, you know, the funding inequities when it comes to higher education, and the fact that the Board of Regents just approved a development that isn't even education related. It was more of a conference center, hotel conference center. So one of the things that is very frustrating to us at GYDC is the fact that we are within a 60-mile radius, 1.5 million people. But because there's an international boundary and there's another state boundary, it is not even considered as a asset or
part of the trade area.
Now, if we had a university, those 1 million people in Mexicali would be attending, because to have a U.S. education is a badge of honor. It is something that is coveted, but it's lost because it's just not even considered. It's not even considered, and to me, it doesn't make sense that we can't include those populations in everything that we're doing. And the state should be looking at us as a mega region, because this is 1.5 million people that we can capture.
I just spent a week driving through most of Texas, right, and communities smaller than Yuma with major universities, right? And you know what I saw all across that state? Growth.
Opportunity.
Growth. I mean, you have
investment.
Investment.
Oh my heavens!
And you look at what's the driver for that, and again, it's not just one thing, but higher education is so critical, and because it helps to create the environment that the creative and the intelligent and the educated class want to live in, right? And so, It's a huge missed opportunity. Our state is looking at this from not from how do we develop our entire state in the ways that they do things really well, right? I mean, you go to Pine Top, Arizona, they do some things up there that obviously we can't do here in Yuma, right?
Right.
And I see stuff there that stuff should be invested. The state should be investing in Pine Top as well, right? They're not concerned. I mean, the people in Maricopa County, the leaders, they're not concerned about Pine Top either, right? But we're leaving dollars on the table, right? Dollars on the table in Yuma. We're leaving dollars on the table all throughout this state. It's because we have people that monopolize the political system, and they have absolute power. What the difference between Texas, states like Texas and Arizona, is you have an equilibrium, right? Dallas doesn't push around Houston. Houston doesn't push around San Antonio. Right, you know, Austin doesn't get pushed around by any of those.
By Amarillo, right?
They stand on their own. El Paso is its own thing, right? Arizona, you've got Phoenix push. Maricopa County pushes the rest of the state around.
A very dear friend of mine, his wife is got her credentials, master's, going to be a professor. University of Texas, San Marcos. I didn't even know San Marcos was a city in Texas.
This community, they have like 20,000. I have a friend that lives in Brookings, South Dakota. There's 20,000 people there, and they have a university with 20,000 students.
Right.
It's the middle of nowhere.
I'm from Nebraska, same concept. And we just went through Utah and Idaho, and you know, St. George is smaller than Yuma, and it has a beautiful university. Yeah. They invest in education in those states, and those states are doing well.
Yeah, Dixie State, we have friends that have sent the kids to
the argument that a university would not be successful in Yuma is absolutely illogical. And people envision, well, they're envisioning ASU and Yuma. Well, of course it wouldn't start off as something like that, right? But you start off with 2,000 students, 1,000 students, and you grow it just like you would any other type of enterprise like that, right?
Right.
But you can drive all the way around. And again, We don't. The state's either gonna decide that, you know, all the growth in one county is either good or bad, but they're gonna keep losing educated people. Again, half. This is 10%. Half of all the educated people, college educated people, leave this state.
But if you listen to folks in San Maricopa County, they're gonna spin that and they don't even recognize.
No, they recognize it as a problem. They're just trying to make Maricopa nicer. They're not saying, well, maybe we should have other options. Maybe not everybody wants to live in Maricopa County. Maybe we should have a couple other areas that are doing well in the state, right?
You know, you look at Michigan. Yeah. There's universities all over the state of Michigan.
Absolutely.
I know several people went to different schools in Michigan, mm-hmm. and they're in Yuma, but they talk fondly about the size of the college, mm-hmm. the college experience, what they gained, what they could have gained had they actually gone to class. A different story. But they had the opportunity right in their hometowns.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Or towns they wanted to live in, but they had choice.
Yeah. Right.
Right now, there's no choice. Right now, there's Flagstaff, Tempe, and Tucson. That's it. Have a nice day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if you want to actually have a career
American.
After you graduate, you basically have got Phoenix Metro and to a more limited extent, you know, Tucson, you know,
right.
Pima County. I know people in Tucson too. You know, they're tired of getting pushed around by Maricopa County. I mean, there's been a battle for years between.
Oh yes, it's the second city. But,
yeah. But at the end of the day, they have a university there, and they can attract people, and their economy is growing, right? And there's going to be a shift. And it's this book I sent you. It's called When the Boomers Bail. There's going to be a shift, and it's going to be very distinct. There's going to be communities that make it, and there's communities that don't.
Mm-hmm. We're already there as a state, though. We really are, because there are communities that aren't making it anymore.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And the feds did, like I said, this is a national problem. It's not unique to Arizona. However, Arizona is one of the worst. And so there are several states that have implemented programs that are incentivizing companies to look outside of their metros.
Okay.
We've tried. We introduced a bill last year. Tim Dunn sponsored it. We had to pull back on that bill because we didn't have the support we needed in the Senate. We're coming back at it again this year.
Good.
We've already been told, unless this is statewide, it's not going to go anywhere.
So the idea was to have for rural
right.
Arizona.
It was 1470,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. And it was just for rural Arizona.
Right, the other 13.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So we were talking
and
earlier.
We're being told, no, you can't do this because,
we'll be disadvantaged.
But there's lots of bills that just benefit Maricopa.
Let's talk about Opportunity Zone overlay, like we were talking about earlier.
Yes, off the air. Yeah, please.
Yeah, this is frustrating. This is so frustrating. The legislative intent, read the legislative intent. The intent was to help small communities, right? Small rural communities that were kind of on the cusp of being able to get projects put together but just couldn't get over the hump, right? The intent was never to be in major primary secondary markets, right? That was never the intent. So you look at the state map for opportunity zones. San Luis, Arizona, generational unemployment there, right? I mean, you've got the commercial port of entry. You've got all of that land there that has utilities, which is so critical.
The definition of opportunity.
Water, sewer, has some gas, and there's land, and it's affordable, and it's a port of entry. That did not qualify for opportunity zone treatment. But Old Town Scottsdale did.
I smell a rat.
And if you're telling me
Mesa, Arizona, airport.
Yeah.
Mesa Gateway qualified. Yeah. Yuma International did not.
Yeah.
I smell a rat.
If you're telling me that, the census tract, this, whatever. I mean, come on.
We're going to have to continue this conversation. Maybe sometime in September I can bring you guys back. we just got started.
Yeah.
The hour is over. The hour, especially with engaged.
I could talk about this for days.
Yeah.
With engaged, energetic friends and partners.
I can't, this is working.
It's all about, John, just be fair. Give everybody an opportunity.
That's all we're asking.
Yeah.
That's all we're asking.
No handouts. Just
thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great Wednesday. Bye for now.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
From the one-hour air conditioning and heating studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.